You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Health.
702.
Health and wellness.
All right, let's get into our health and wellness feature now. Today we are discussing excessive sweating. Sweating is a natural response to certain conditions. It can be warm weather, maybe after engaging in a physical activity. It could be stress, or maybe you're feeling, you know, feelings of fear or anger. But there are other people who sweat more than usual, even under cool conditions and without any trigger. So I want us to look at what causes excessive sweating, right? When should you be worried about sweating? And can excessive sweating be a serious condition? And there are people who often ask about the treatment options that are available for that excessive sweating. So if you want to share with us your experiences, maybe you experienced this excessive sweating, maybe you've tried different options that have worked for you, I'd like to hear from you. Give me a call on 011-883-0702. You can send a WhatsApp voice note as well. We've got Dr. Malin McKay, who's a general practitioner, who's going to guide us through this discussion. Dr. McKay, thank you for making time. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about this excessive sweating. I mean, is it a condition? Should people be worried when they have excessive sweating and yet they didn't do some physical activity that's tough, or they're even in cool temperatures?
Absolutely. I think that is the critical factor. We all perspire or sweat at some point. And remember, sweating is part of your body's normal response to maintain the fluid balance in your body with the kidneys and the way you drink, etc. So the moment you start sweating, and you know it's inappropriate because I'm not sitting in the sun, I'm not exercising, I'm not exerting myself, and that sweat is excessive, for instance, on the palm of your hands,
yeah,
your axillae, under in your armpits, yes, then that is an area of concern. And it, psychologically especially, you become more aware of it. You worry about what people can see. You're scared about lifting your arms. So when it does reach that point, it is a matter of concern and needs attention.
Could it be a serious condition when it reaches that point?
So yes and no. You know, a lot of the time we find, I think most commonly, we don't find a cause. We call it primary or focal hyperhidrosis. So this is where, for some nerve stimulation, it makes excessive sweat on the palms of your hands without you having any underlying medical condition.
Mm.
The problem comes in when the sweating is as a result of some underlying serious medicine. So then it's a clue to say there's something going on, and that is where we need to focus our attention, such as diabetes, obesity, a low sugar attack, a panic attack, a heart attack, anything like that that can trigger excessive sweating may be a sign that there may be something more serious going on.
Is it more common in certain people, certain groups than others?
There can be a genetic component. There can be a family history component, especially when we can't find a cause. But generally, no one is spared. It can happen in children, can happen young adults, and the elderly as well.
All right, let's take some calls, some WhatsApp voice notes as well. If you've got some questions around excessive sweating, you're welcome to call or send a voice note. Gavin, you're in Johannesburg. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sure, Gavin, go ahead.
Dr. McHugh.
Yeah, go ahead, Gavin.
Okay, I've been in really excessive sweater, mostly after I had an operation where I severed my Achilles tendon and my artery.
Mm.
And they said that it had to do with my central nervous system and that eventually it would settle down. And it hasn't, and I've got a really big... I was told that you can treat it with interferesis in combination with some sort of, I don't know if it's a cream or an ointment or gel that needs to be put onto the electrodes to pass the current through the body in order to lessen the sweating over time.
Mm.
And my physiotherapist told me about this, and he said the trouble is it was in one of his varsity books, and he lent it to somebody, and he'd never received it back. And I've yet to find a pharmacist that knows about this.
Because yeah,
the pharmacist would have to mix that.
And you said this all happened after your operation, hey, Gavin?
Yeah. Yes, well, okay. The sweating got worse. I used to sweat before, but not as excessively as now. And I even get like a fungal infection in, like in the armpits and in the groin area with the sweating.
Let's hear what Dr. McKay. Dr. McKay, how do you advise Gavin?
Yeah, so the treatment can be quite challenging. Obviously, if we always start with simple methods or what we call topical. So there are prescription antiperspirants that one can use. There's prescription creams that one can apply, like to the face or to the armpits or to the hands. And then we would move on to tablets or pills that can either block the nerves to that area. There are certain pills that we use for something else, but some of the side effects are to reduce sweating, cause dry mouth. So you can get that benefit by using the pills. There are some pills like antidepressants that can help. And then you move on to the more sophisticated treatment. So once you've done the creams and the antiperspirants, once you've done the pills and you're still not getting any joy, then we can move on to things like Botox can help. And then what Gavin is trying, I think what they're referring to is this what we call microwave therapy, where you deliver the device that delivers little microwaves of energy to destroy the sweat glands in that particular region.
Yeah.
You can remove the sweat glands if the surgeon really wants to do that. And then there's also cutting the nerve supply or cutting the nerves that supply that area. We call that a sympathectomy.
Mm.
And so the nerves are cut off and therefore those sweat glands don't work. And that can also give some relief.
Okay.
So that's the kind of a scenario that we would go through.
Okay. Gavin, thank you so much for that call. And Dr. McKay, are there medications that cause this excessive sweating?
Yeah, so there are, as a side effect, there are medications that can cause that. And then you also find it in recovering in drug addicts where there's sort of withdrawal from the drugs that they use, especially if they're addicted to opioids. So part of the withdrawal of those drugs can cause sweating. But a lot of drugs that we use for antibiotics, tablets for gastrointestinal conditions, as a side effect can also cause sweating. But that is usually related to the pill itself.
Mm.
You know, you take the pill and then you may experience nausea, vomiting or excessive perspiration. And that's easy to treat because then you just remove that pill.
Yeah. Okay. Patrick, you're in Soweto. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Clement. You're speaking to Patrick here from Protea Glen. I just wanted to ask about my situation. You see, now it's winter. In fact, I was telling your producer that I sweat throughout the year. But now it's winter. It's cold. When I go to bed, 5 minutes when I take my sleep, I'll be sweating.
Mm. Okay. Dr. McKay, what could that be? Could it be hyperhidrosis?
Not really. So that's a little different because night sweats is different from hyperhidrosis.
Oh.
Hyperhidrosis, excessive sweating from your sweat glands, which is the hands, the palms of the hands and the axilla. Whereas night sweats, patients wake, say, doctor, you know, I wake up, I'm drenched, I have to change my T-shirt or change my pajamas.
Mm.
Now, we always say, if that is how you've always been, then that is you. But for instance, if your night sweats are combined with things like fatigue or loss of weight or coughing, pain anywhere, then that is usually what we call a constitutional symptom or a red flag. So if you can,
yeah, I've always been like that.
Yeah.
Oh, you've always been like that.
Then you are okay. Then that's who you are. And if it's only night sweats, it's not hyperhidrosis, and that's in inverted commas normal for you.
Mm.
As long as I said, there's no fatigue, there's no loss of weight, there's no chronic cough such as TB, because TB can give you those combination of symptoms. But on its own, I wouldn't be too concerned about that.
Mm. Yeah, Patrick, thank you so much for calling. Let's play some voice notes.
Hi, this is Sipe calling from Sandton. I have this problem, Clement. Since I was little, I used to like sort of use my nanny's roll on when I was really little, like 7, 8, 9, and then suddenly when I was about 11, I started sweating profusely. I don't know if it's related. I sweat every day. I sweat in winter. I sweat as I am stepping out of the shower, like I'm sweating. Even now, it's at night, it's the morning, I can be freezing everywhere else. My armpits will sweat. Only my armpits I sweat, nowhere else. I heard Botox is a solution. So maybe if you can talk about that. Is Botox the solution to dealing with this? Because I've used everything. There's no roll on. that works. There's no Mitchum, there's no nothing. Even those little ones you get from Clicks, the Super something, it's really a small little roll-on. The only thing that ever worked was this Eucerin spray that got discontinued in South Africa. And yeah.
Oh, wow. I don't know. Why was it discontinued? Dr. McKay, surgery, is that, how effective is that?
Yeah, so it, as you mentioned, I would probably advise or recommend the Botox injections first. The problem with that, it's a temporary solution. So temporarily blocks the nerves that cause sweating. And then the effect can last for a few months, you know, sometimes 6 months, maybe even up to a year. And then it needs to be repeated. A word about surgery. Surgery, as in most medical conditions conditions, is usually the last resort limit. So you don't want to jump into that until you've exhausted all your options and then lead to that. So in order of preference, you start with the roll-ons, you start with the creams, the medications, and then Botox, and then move on to surgery if everything else has failed prior to that.
All right. Quick ad break. When we come back, more of your calls and some of your questions on the WhatsApp line.
702 Health and Wellness.
We're talking about excessive sweating on our Health and Wellness feature this morning with Dr. Merlin McKay, who's a general practitioner. I'm taking your questions. Let's start here on our WhatsApp voice note line.
Morning, Clement.
Morning,
I have actually excessive sweating ever since I contracted COVID. That was in 2020 March. No, actually July. And I was sweating normally before then, but after COVID, it just became excessive up until now. And it's excessive at night, especially when I'm sleeping. I had to change twice in one night because it's too much.
Yeah, man, I think that's what you were referring to earlier, Dr. McKay, right? Around night sweating, and that if it's something, if it's unusual and it's, then it is that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a very interesting comment and call there, because that would fall under sort of a long COVID or a new onset complication post-COVID. And, you know, COVID is teaching us new things constantly, and we are seeing some things that patients never had before. They get COVID, they survive it, they recover from it, but it kind of leaves your body scarred. And here's someone who battles with night sweats post-COVID. Very interesting.
Let's listen to some more voice notes.
Good morning, Clement. So, Clement, I've been having this problem from a very young age. When I was 13, still in primary, I would sweat. I would like literally sweat during assemblies, and at that time it's cold. Kids are wearing jerseys, but I'm the one that's actually sweating the most. I still have that problem till this day, where I would be in a cool area, but I just start sweating. Like my forehead will be wet, my hair will be wet. I've tried to seek assistance, and yeah, I haven't been successful. Did some tests, and all the tests were normal. So for me, it's something that I have to live with. Not pleasant, but it's just one of those things. Ace from Joburg.
Ace, thank you for sending that. Here's another message, Dr. McKay. Clement, please can you ask the doctor why one's sweat would smell like garlic, even though you don't eat garlic?
Yeah, so generally the principle is that perspiration or sweat per se doesn't smell. It's when it mixes with bacteria on the skin that it can create what you call body odor or this foul smell. But there are other conditions where it mixes with the glands on the skin, and then it can emit a smell. So that can be a medical problem where you would need to see your doctor, because it could be from what you call apocrine glands, and that can then emit that odor, because that's unusual. Normal perspiration, as in most of our calls, not one of them complained of a smell, because perspiration per se doesn't emit an odor. It's just wet all the time.
Let's wrap up with this voice note.
Hi, Clement. Can you just ask the doctor if antiperspirant in kids, can they cause the sweating to be more excessive?
Yes, doctor.
Yeah, so that's a good one. So generally, kids don't sweat that much until they reach puberty, until they reach the axillary hair. So we don't recommend the use of antiperspirants in children, and we prefer rather to delay it. Whether it will actually cause problems later, we rather recommend just don't use it, because we need those sweat glands to develop. Remember, it's normal to have sweat glands and to perspire.
Okay, Dr. Marlene McKay, General Practitioner, thanks for making time.